The Anton Savage Show Saturday
with Nifty Business on News Talk.
53106 at a cost of 30 cents if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp. And you can use those numbers if you want to say hello to Karen Koster. Hello to Karen Koster.
Hello, Anton Savage.
I never knew you were born in the Netherlands.
I wasn't. Is that where did you get the... Oh my
well,
God. You,
this is all going
this
well.
Is
you are, according
to... Research levels are so poor. I mean, I suspected it, but you've just confirmed it.
Now, for the record, because obviously there are a number of professional people involved in this who didn't put that in a brief. I found that on Wikipedia myself. You
the
were
best
born
place
in The Hague.
To go. I was born in The Hague.
You were
this
born in The Hague.
To me.
Wikipedia says you were born in The Hague.
Oh my God. And I actually remember trying to go into Wikipedia once because this is shameful to admit, but I did look at it and my age was wrong and they'd aged me by a year. So I tried to go in and do an edit on my age and I don't think I was able to. So now clearly I have to go and do an edit and say I was actually born in Mount Carmel.
Do you not want them aged a little? Because then people look at you and go, she looks well for whatever Wikipedia says she is.
That's an interesting theory. So should I be saying I'm actually like close to
50? Oh, late 60s. Oh yeah. And everybody goes, God, she's very well preserved. She must have had work done.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I have no expertise. You're the one who was quoting Tom Cruise and how good your light is.
Listen, I was just trying to name drop early on in our conversation. Yeah, the good lighting can shave off the ears, in fairness. That good lighting is better than Botox, I would argue.
Explain the Tom Cruise lighting lesson. How did this come?
So do you remember Tom Cruise came over years ago? It was probably before I had kids. So maybe 9, 10 years ago, he came over to trace his Irish ancestry.
Oh, we gave him a certificate.
Yes. And we were all in the Department of Foreign Affairs, I think, I can't remember. And my job that day for expose, or RP expose, was to follow him around for the entire day. And he went to the Guinness storehouse and he was there and all this. And then he was, God, what was the name of the movie? Inception. Didn't do great. I think that's why he was doing so much.
No, hang on, he wasn't Inception. That's Christopher Nolan.
Not Inception.
The thing where he was in a swimming pool in space. Oh, that's going
to be... Yeah, it's the spacey sci-fi one.
It wasn't bad.
Wasn't great. I was like, I think he was overcompensating with all this press to make.
He was flying a little helicopter with no rotor blades.
Yes. I'd say it was
that
all
thing.
Shot on green screen.
Yeah.
So he was over promoting that, and I got to introduce him at the Savoy. Fabulous day. And I ended it actually.
Hang on,
with
you got to introduce him.
Yeah, at the Savoy, and interviewed him like with the director. It was a big deal for me.
Is that not a lot of pressure?
It was at the time. I was young back then, Anton. I didn't care. Now I would be absolutely crippled with self-doubt. But I remember saying, I thought it was the only funny thing I'd ever thought of, and it won't sound funny now. But as I finished up and was about to say, and, you know, enjoy the movie, I said, watch out for this guy. I think he's going to be huge. Boom. About Tom Cruise. And I came away going, I'm actually quite happy with that. I just thought of that there. But why I started talking about this was because when we were getting a picture that appeared on the cover of the Herald, Tom was shuffling me around and said, not that light, this light. You always need to find your light. So I said, right, that's it.
Lesson Tom Cruise learned. Finds his light.
Finds the light. So you're literally in a room going, nope, not there. So not your back to the window. You shove around and now there's your light.
The only lesson I was ever given on this was your former colleague from Expose, Lorraine Keane, who told me never to stand beneath overhead lighting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look how bad the photo I tried to take of us looked horrendous because of all the disgusting.
I always just look
lighting.
And go, yep, that's me. That is an identifiable representation of me.
Do you think I'm aiming for identical representation for Instagram? There is a lot going on. I went to the Gossies there recently. Everyone brings their own light with them now. Not only are you finding your light,
you're kidding.
You're bringing your own light. They are buying them off Instagram. And I mean, these aren't just the newbies anymore. Like, these are people my age now, the veterans, as I've now graduated to that category. Everyone is bringing their lights. They're clipping it on a phone. And that's how they're all doing it. It is a whole new world out there, Anton.
People are bringing their own lights for their selfies.
Their own clip-on lights. Yeah, that's where we're at now.
So you're 100% sure you're not born in The Hague?
Well, like, I don't remember much from that time of my life. No, my father is Dutch, though. He was born in Rotterdam, and Koster is a Dutch name. So perhaps that's the confusion.
But he had the good grace to come here before you were created.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever lived in the Netherlands?
No.
Do you speak Dutch?
No. Literally, my only claim to the Netherlands is my name. I'm not even tall. My dad's not even tall. That's why he had to leave. Because all the women were too tall and he came and he found an
icicle. Do you find the Dutch to be very quiet?
No, not my dad. Well, my dad's the only Dutch person I know, basically.
I think your dad'd be the only... Surely he brings you to Holland or the Netherlands to give it its proper title and goes, this is our homeland.
Times as kids. Yeah, and yeah, we wouldn't be hugely kind of connected to that side of the family, unfortunately. So he's basically the only proper Dutch guy I know. They're a bit crazy. I will vouch for that.
I find them very quiet. I was in Holland for the first time. I'm sorry if I'm offending people by calling it Holland. Is it okay to call it Holland? You don't know.
Well, I say
I know more about the Netherlands than you.
Sound a bit more, you know.
I found them to be very quiet. They would be in groups on streets making very little noise. I was thinking if that was an Irish group, they'd be loud. If there was an American group, they'd be deaf.
Are they just high? Are they just like, you know,
possibly, but I thought,
all the space
I like cake. You guys, you're quiet.
Oh, there you go.
So you made this weird decision recently, which nobody does. If you have a gig in media, you bury your teeth, your nails and your toenails into it and you cling on for dear life because it's only a matter of time before they fling you out the window. You had a perfectly good gig and you gave it away.
I know.
Why?
I know. I actually think that you're dead right. Do you know what I'm going to ask my gig back? What was I doing? Oh, well, my God.
I should interrupt you briefly. Do you know the Larry David story about that?
No, go on.
Larry David threw a wobbler when he was working on Saturday Night Live. Just threw an absolute hissy fit, stormed out, I quit, throw the job in and marched out, I think on a Saturday night. He then went home and realised how much money he had cost himself.
Oh.
So on Monday morning, he just went back in, pretended it hadn't happened.
Maybe I could do that.
Worth a shot.
He's like, Katya, what are you doing hanging around here? I'm back. Yeah, it was a weird one. To be honest, tale as old as time. I just needed to be home more with the family. And it was a great gig. I was 20 years in TV3/Virgin Media. Absolutely loved it. Perfect gig on paper. The only thing wrong with the 6 o'clock show is that it goes on air at 6 o'clock. And that quite simply was a time where I just needed to be home. Like people would, I'd be talking to other busy working parents and they'd be like, oh, well, like I was home, I gave them the dinner and then I was out and I was bringing them to football and then I collected them. And I was like, I'm not around for any of that busyness, which is also quite blissful in a lot of ways that you miss a lot of the, you know, the football training and all the pickups and all the busyness of that. But what was getting to me was that like John would literally text at 6:05 just as we were about to go on air and he would be like, dinner was lovely, thanks a million. And I got to the point when I was like, I just want to be around more to have dinner with my kids, even if they don't eat it, even if I'm throwing most of it into the bin. So it was just the wrong time of day, really, to be working. And then, you know, there was other kind of bigger things happening in the bigger picture. And I just thought, I think it might be okay to step back. As opposed to, no, stop looking at me with that big fearful look in your eyes. What have I done? No. But now I am leaning into this year. This is my year of saying yes. I'm like, if you had called me a year ago and said you, I'd be like, no, go away. I'm too busy. Like I have to be with the kids. So now that they get so much more of me, I'm able to say yes to other little things.
Oh, so let me get that straight. Had I called you a year ago, the answer would have been, no, go away. I'm too busy.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know where I the show stands on your priorities.
News talk. No, thank you. Sorry, I've no time for you. No. So it was just, yeah. Joe was a great support. Mairead Ronan, formerly of this parish, this family.
Right.
And I literally, I rang her because I was like, you did a similar kind of thing here. Now you step back and I thought you were crazy. What's life like on the other side? And she was like, you know, you're going to have to make peace with certain things in terms of phone mightn't ring for TV work. There might be this. So I had to very much feel I was ready, but I did feel ready.
Which is a difficult thing because it's hard to do the thing of, I don't want this gig, but I'm not turning my nose up at all gigs. That's a difficult message to send out into the world in a way that says I'm still available for stuff if it isn't at 8 o'clock at night.
Exactly.
Because you did have what was once the hardest working gig in showbiz.
That's what we tried to tell everyone.
No, expose. Expose was
perpetuated that.
That was proper hard work. I saw use. Like short of having to film it yourself. Like,
yeah. And that was scripted,
edited.
No, we were trained as VJs initially, video journalists initially. So we did trials. And I think we probably tried to sabotage ourselves so much because I did go out and film a couple of fashion shows by myself. And then the quality was so bad, it couldn't be broadcast. They were like, no, we're actually going to give you a camera person, thankfully. But it was fantastic. Do you know, I bumped into Sean Monsange recently. He had recently been on Home of the Year and I literally threw myself across the road to have a chat with him. And we were reminiscing and we were like, should we get the gang back together? It's almost at that point where we're like, girls allowed to get back together. How long are they broken up? Are we off the air long enough to try and have a little mini revival? Because we've such fond memories of it. We had a great time. But we're too old and we don't want to work that hard anymore.
No. There has to be a halfway house. What you need is a video podcast that goes out once every 3 weeks.
Ooh!
Don't put too much effort into it. Tap into the nostalgia. Cha-ching. Strip the cost out of it. Make a fortune. 15% off the top to me, please.
100% straight away. That's
we are
genius.
Going to make... It would work.
Love
think
that.
About it. You get the band back together. You go to one event, maybe.
Yeah.
You then talk about it subsequently. Couple of giggles, glass of wine, and watch the money roll.
Oh my
it's
God. Okay, I'm texting Glenda. Glenda, are you available? Let's go.
Are you friendly with any of them, or was it just a ball of internet? Were you like the Eagles? Did you all hate each other and stand on separate bits of carpet?
No, we loved each other because we'd never worked together. Like, we never saw each other. Well, listen, we saw each other when we were back in the office, but it was never like...
Well, the reason you liked each other was because you were never exposed to each other.
It's like good marriages. You know, you don't want to hang out together too much. No,
I realise you've just told us that your reason for throwing the gig in was to spend more time with your husband. Have you thought this through?
I know, I'm contradicting myself constantly because I'm like, oh, scraping around so much for the kids, but also get me away from the kids. They're absolutely doing my head, and hence why I'm sitting in here with you, delighted to get a little outing of a weekend. No, we always got on great. But I remember our producer at the time, Debbie O'Donnell, said like there was to be no catfighting. We kind of looked at her perplexed going, we can't foresee that. We don't think there will be. And actually, we really had each other's backs because we all got how tricky it was. And I mean, we were like, this isn't the day before, you know, you could even send footage back, you know, from London. So we were carrying tapes, hoofing around London from Leicester Square and trying to make it for flights to get home and then loading in your tapes and editing it. So we very much always had each other's back. So we had a great
cool gig
together.
At the time, it has to be said.
Oh, we thought we were practically like rock stars doing it. Like, it was, for all intents and purposes, we were like the supermodels doing it. I don't mean that in looks, but as in we were doing cover shoots, photo calls. We were constantly on the go and was brilliant. But then you have a baby and the creche closes at 6. And when your producer's saying, hey, any chance you could go to Leicester Square for a red carpet premiere with Tom Cruise? You're like, no. So it's just one of these things. It was like a perfect window to do in our late 20s, 30s or whatever. But once kids came along, it started getting a bit complicated.
Have you bought your own little light?
No, I'm going to do. I think I should do it before I go to my next event.
I was just curious, given that you say that it is the thing, it strikes me, you know.
Yeah, I'll get the light. Find the light. Find the light on Amazon.
If people want to follow you on Instagram and see the results of the light, what's the handle?
As I get younger and younger through my Instagram, I think I'm...
She's well preserved for her early 60s. She was born in the Netherlands in 1938.
I think I'm at Karen Koster TV. I don't have anything very interesting up there.
I think I'm at. This is what, now that you're freelance, you have to stay out on the socials, I believe.
Oh, okay.
That's what they tell me.
Okay.
Karen, I genuinely am very sorry to see you go off Virgin Media, but delighted to know that you are available for other work as we
back.
Speak.
They have me back on RLDM when Alan Hughes takes a fancy to going on a cruise, and that's quite frequent, actually. There's quite a lot of work there just covering Alan Hughes.
I found myself sitting at home going, go on, Tommy, take a day off.
Exactly. So you never know where I'm going to pop up.
Karen Koster, as always, thanks very much.
Thanks, Anton.
The Anton Savage Show Saturday.
With Nifty Business.
Saturday morning at 9. On News Talk.